May the words I speak, may the thoughts we think, and may the deeds which come from them be pleasing, acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Today is a very special day in many ways. Emily has been brought here to be baptized, or christened, just two words whose origins are in different ancient languages and mean basically the same thing. Many here will remember that sense of awe as your child comes into the world. The journey you've been on as a couple to get to this point. Maybe simple, maybe fraught with difficulties, certainly marked by many decisions, reflections, hopes, and possibly a few fears. The trauma of birth. But then the hopes of this child that they have brought with them into this world. With the birth of a child, there's an experience of transcendence, of something greater, bigger, more purposeful and overarching, and a natural desire to give thanks. As a vicar, I recognise that many who bring their children to churches for this special occasion might not be card-carrying churchgoers as I am. Their beliefs might be a bit muddled, as mine are. But like me as a parent, they've been privileged to be part of something wonderful. And there's an innate need to celebrate and to give thanks. And that makes today special. Also, of course, it's special, as I mentioned earlier, because it's the first baptism held here for quite some time. First baptism I've personally conducted since the end of 2019. It's a sign that things are moving forwards in a way that is at least a bit hopeful. So thank you, Emily, for today, for the gift of your presence here in St. Mary's Church. And as a minister, one of the things I value about our way of following the Christian faith in the Church of England is that we, in partnership with many other traditions, use the same lectionary. That's a set of readings that we follow from the Bible over a three-year cycle. Rather than choosing what we might read from the Bible week by week, though that we're free to do so if we wish, we're encouraged to encounter a broad range of what can be found in that great book. Not only that, but it prevents us from repeating endlessly the stories we like and avoiding those that maybe should be that little bit too challenging for our ears to hear. But I need to confess to you, as a minister, whenever I approach a Sunday where we're having the joy of a baptism, I look at the readings that little bit more closely. How will the family and their guests react? Particularly if they're not used to being in church Sunday by Sunday. What type of Jesus will we present to them through our readings? Is this the joyful, child-loving, huggable Jesus we'd like them to encounter in Sunday school? Okay, so today we messed up a bit. I'm sorry. Today we got the grumpy, got out of bed the wrong side Jesus, going on about sin and unforgiveness and conflict of good and bad. He's in a combative mood, ready for a fight, all right. And not only that, but we got his somewhat dysfunctional family too. This church here, this wonderful building, is dedicated to St. Mary the Virgin. That's Jesus' mum. And you'll see her sanitized stained glass image of saintly perfection presented to you in this building. When she turns up with some of Jesus' siblings, demanding to see him, suggesting maybe that he's losing it a bit, wanting to take him away from the public view and back to the safety and privacy of the family, Jesus redefines family to include any who are allies to him. This isn't a glorious moment, but it is a wonderfully human one. The Gospels do not attempt to sanitize Jesus or life. They present him as a very human being. The This begins with a statement. This story begins with a statement that Jesus and his disciples hadn't even had time to eat. This Jesus of Nazareth was starting to become a bit of a thing. His fame was spreading and people were flocking to see him, wanting some of what he offered: hope, healing, and an attitude towards faith and God that rode back on the institutionalized and privatized religion the authorities encouraged. Should I be careful of saying that in here? The result is that Jesus and those around him are stretched thin. They need to develop a greater capacity to cope with all of this, but right now they don't have it. The gently managed change that Jesus is seeking to bring erupts into talk of conflict, because that represents the pressure Jesus is under right now. And like most of us, his language reflects his experience. Likewise, Jesus' family love him desperately. And like any caring family, want to care for him. They know him the better than anyone. They can see he's in danger of overextending himself. Yes, teach the people. Yes, gain some local notoriety. But watch out. Going against the authorities, going against the grain, isn't always wise. Others have done it. And look what happened to them. It didn't end well. If you want your religion sanitized, manageable, kept under control, decently proportioned, available for Sundays and special occasions, but please not intruding elsewhere if you don't mind. Well, today's Jesus might not be the right one for you. But if you have ever felt frayed by the demands of this world, the expectations of others, even those close to you, even the expectations of yourself, if you've ever been motivated by love or compassion to reach out to those who seem stretched beyond their capacity, only to have it thrown back in your face, well then today's Jesus might just be the right one for you. It all goes back to the beginning, really. The whole point of the incarnation, the whole point of that first Christmas, was that God might become like us. Yes, still fully God, and yet now also fully human. To know at first hand what human life is like. To get down in the dirt and the mess of human reality. Not that we might be condemned by that action, but that we might be lifted by it with Jesus to heaven itself. Being fully human is messy. It has frayed edges. And God knows that. God understands that because God has experienced that. So when your edges are frayed, when your beloved child won't stop crying, when those closest to you think you're getting it wrong, which God will you pray to? The stained glass one of holy perfection, or the one who's got a pretty good idea of what it's like to be you? Amen.